Good morning. Today's reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 28. Be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
I feel redundant. The children's talk gave us a good basis of what I'm going to say. Preach the sermon before I preach the sermon, which is always good, so you get it twice. And we had a great example from Rosie of how to pray. So it's always good to have teaching and an example, which we've had this morning. So we're finishing our series, very short series, on how to pray. For the last 3 weeks, we've looked at what to pray for, we've looked at why to pray, and now we're looking at how to pray. I'm going to cough, so just block your ears. Thank you very much, Reese. Oh, no, sorry, it wasn't. It was it's Nathan. Thank you very much. These verses actually give us a good example of the whole life prayer. Starting in verses 16, be joyful, pray continually, give thanks. This is the will of Christ for you. So you've got the three things. You be joyful, pray, give thanks. You've got all the three things all at once. In the middle, you have praying. So this is whole life prayer. And what Lorraine was talking about with pray continually or pray continuously is about this. So it's an attitude of life. So I want to suggest that when you say, how should you pray, you should change the thing. Oh, please change, because I've lost my notes. So that's it, basically. Pray like your life depended on it. That's what you should do. Pray like your life depended on it, because it does. I remember when I was a child, we used to talk about being fed through the word, and praying was like breathing. Now, okay, let's hold our breath, shall we? See how long it takes. Tell me when I'm going blue. Yes, our life depends on it, doesn't it? Breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out, you get oxygen, you turn it into carbon dioxide. And praise God that we have the trees who turn the carbon dioxide back into oxygen. Anyway, that's breathing like your life depended on it. And you've got to pray like your life depended on it. Now, I can't rock climb. My body weight and strength ratio is not good enough to be a mountaineer. But I do know a mountaineer who said, when you're climbing a mountain, you focus on one thing. Well, actually, you focus on three things. This guy is in danger, by the way, because you focus on three things. There should be 2 feet and one arm, or 2 arms and 1 foot on the rock, and you concentrate because your life depends on it. So pray like your life depends on it. So this is not just something you do. It's something you are. Pray continually. Now, I am actually relying a lot on a guy called Pete Grieg, or Peter Grieg, who wrote a book called How to Pray for this sermon. He said it a lot better than I could do so, so I'm going to use his model and I'm going to add bits to it. So, praying in the Spirit. Now, I've done a lot of reading, and there is a lot, certainly on the internet, of pray in the Spirit. And they often make a big difference between praying and praying in the Spirit. As far as I can see biblically, there's no difference between praying and praying in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit, always, constantly. That's the only way you can pray, is pray in the Spirit. So you don't have, it's not a special prayer, it's not a powerful prayer. It says prayer 2.1. I say no, prayer 1.0, prayer 101, like they say in America. You know, the first thing you do, the most important thing you do is pray. Praying in the Spirit is what we do. It is life in the Spirit. We all, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we pray in the Spirit constantly, in communication with the Spirit. People ask me, they say, who do you pray to? Do you pray to Father, Son, or Spirit? I pray to all of them. All the persons of the Trinity, to Father, to Son, to Spirit. But I always pray in the Spirit, because that's the only way I can pray. Because the Spirit's the one who communicates with me about what God is on God's heart. Praying in the Spirit. It's constant. That's what we've got to be doing. Praying in the Spirit. So Ephesians 6 says to be alert. It's the passage about the armor of God. And it says pray. Pray continually. So you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And my dad used to talk about the spear of prayer. The two offensive weapons the Christian has is the word and prayer. So again, prayer is not something you do. If you're a soldier, now we have plenty of former military here, so I'm going to be very, very careful what I say. If you're a soldier, you're not a soldier part-time. You are a soldier always. You're always ready. You're always ready to get into action. We are always to be praying constantly, because that is our very life. You know, theologically, you think, you know, who is the source of life? God is the source of all life. God keeps me in existence. He keeps every atom in existence. He keeps every superstring, if you're into physics, in existence. He keeps me in existence. So I need to be plugged into the life of God. We have battery power things these days. When you plug them in and then they run for a while and then they run out in the middle of a very important project, which is what I always find, whether it be computers, whether it be my phone, whether it be my circular saw. It is always running out when you're halfway through cutting a piece of wood. Never cuts out any other time. But you've always got to plug it in. You've always got to plug it in to the life, which is the plug. We need to be constantly plugged into, to use a rather homely view, homely example, into God. Always plugged into Him. That's why I wanted this passage read, because it's got all those things that we need to do. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Hold on to good. Avoid evil. All of these things are being plugged into God Himself. And Paul says, may God Himself. God does not subcontract. God Himself is involved in this. Does anybody remember the Frank Peretti books? I enjoyed those a lot. I mean, the description of the conversion of that girl in the second book is just hits me, makes me cry every time I read it. However, God doesn't subcontract to angels. God does it himself. God himself is involved in this. So when we actually say, Lord, you're actually talking to him. He's there. It's wonderful, isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? That's the access to God himself. So Peter Grieg has four things that I'm going to expand on. Is that? I can't remember what that is. Anyway, keep it simple, stupid. We've got to keep it simple because actually it is simple. It's not really. It's not rocket science. Only rocket science is rocket science. So be prepared. I love this picture. Prepare for prayer. Lorraine talked about, you know, when you present yourself to the king, if you're into that sort of thing, or somebody really, really important, like the manager of Arsenal, for example. I mean, you prepare. Now, as an illustration, I see my wife every day. Normally, I look like I've been dragged through a hedge backwards. Normally, she says, don't you dare wear that into the garage and cover it with sawdust. She does, quite often. I see her every day. But when we go out, we went out yesterday for her birthday. It was her birthday on the 19th. It was our anniversary, 30th, on the 4th. But I dressed up properly. Pink shirt. Pink waistcoat. Pink socks. There you go. So, colour coordinated. I specially dressed up for my wife. And although we're not colour coordinated, she's colour coordinated and I'm colour coordinated at different colours. But I dress properly for a special occasion. So we are talking to the closest person we can possibly imagine, closer than a brother, the Bible says. But we need to prepare ourselves to pray. So we do pray constantly. We are in an attitude of prayer constantly. But we can come to God in those special, wonderful occasions. And we need to prepare ourselves. We need to stop. We need to take time. We need literally to calm down. I don't know about my brain, my head, it's a very busy, busy place. It's going constantly. I'm always thinking. I can't stop thinking. I need to calm down. I need to take time to turn my mind to him. And it's a very, very good exercise to do. Quieten our minds before prayer. Remember, you're coming into the presence of the person who said, let there be light. And there was. We're talking to the person who was willing to die a horrible death. There's nothing romantic about the cross. Nothing romantic whatsoever about the cross. It was horrible. Being nailed to a piece of wood and left there over 24 hours to die. Nothing romantic about that. And he was willing to do that. We're coming into his presence. So we need to prepare our minds. And when you pray, how do you pray? Prepare yourself. Prepare your mind. Prepare your heart. Quieten down. Calm down. Focus on him. It's a vitally important thing to do. Listen before we speak. It's a wonderful book, Practicing the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence. Meditation is not about focusing on nothing. If we focus on nothing, things will come into our minds we don't want to come into our minds, because we're sinners. Listen to God. Conversations, somebody once said, conversations with you, Paul, is like a monologue sometimes. Yeah, I'm sorry. It is, because I get really excited. But conversations are two-way, aren't they? Listen to God. Acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge, be reconciled to him. Attend to his voice. And that will mean, if we really want to hear his voice, he's given us his word. So reading the Bible is part of prayer. And don't read the Bible for study. I do constantly. It's really hard for me. It's part of the dangers of my profession that I'm constantly kind of going, oh, that's interesting. I've really got to think about that. Next time I preach, I'm going to... No, listen to God. Be reconciled. We need, and Lorraine said it again, to admit our failure. We're coming into the presence not only of the greatest being in the universe, we're coming to the presence of a holy being. And the word holy is not primarily an ethical word. Holiness means different. Holiness means separate, consecrated. And this God is not like the rest of them. This God is holy, different, special. C.S. Lewis in Out of the Silent Planet, his novel, the character goes to see an archangel. There's only an archangel, but he says that as he approached the place where the archangel was, he got more and more and more anxious because he was approaching something very, very holy. And when we approach God, we approach the Holy One. That's one of the favorite Old Testament names for God, the Holy One, the Holy Different One. He's not like Baal. He's not like the other gods. He is holy and different. So prepare ourselves. Practice the presence of God. Sorry, gone too far. Praise. Joyful praise. Whether it be flowers or chocolate. A good French cheese. Everything is provided by him, remember. Everything is provided by him. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we lose that, don't we, as adults? What a shame. Kiddies, you know, they wonder. That's the phrase I love. They wonder. Oh, duck! Ducks aren't. I saw two swans this morning, actually. The only thing I thought is they've stayed together for life. That's what I thought. Anyway, I mean, wonder. John Stott, a friend of mine in Argentina, René Padilla, he went on holiday with John Stott, and they went walking in the south of Argentina, and John Stott suddenly stopped and said, "See that little flower? That only grows here. It doesn't grow anywhere else." And then he'd suddenly go, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that bird? That's a special bird," or something. I mean, John Stott was, he could tell bird sound. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing man. The wonder, the thanks, talking to God about what he's created. Talking to God about God. Talking to him about telling God who he is. He knows who he is. My wife actually tells me I'm wonderful. I know that. What are you laughing about? Rotten lot. God knows. God's right about the fact he's wonderful. I'm not. He is. Talk to him. Tell him. Tell him you're a fantastic creator. Tell him how wonderful his creation is. Give thanks for it. Tell him how wonderful you think the salvation he's given you is. The absolute wonder of forgiveness. Forgiveness. We don't deserve it, guys. We don't. We've forgotten. We've forgotten how serious our sin is. And he forgave us. 1 John 1. If we confess our sin, boy, if we say, Lord, I messed up, that's confession. That's it. He is faithful and just. The word is not and at that point. The word is to. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He's faithful because he said he'd do it. He's just because Jesus died. He can forgive our sin, not just because he's a forgiving sort of chap. Somebody once said, you know, it's God's business to forgive sin. No, it's not. He forgives sin because he is faithful and just. We yield ourselves to God in love. We fall into his arms in love because he cares for us. Yes, he may be the King of Kings. Yes, he is holy. But we can be confident because of the Lord Jesus Christ that our sin is forgiven. Ooh, why is it I got heavy fingers today? Petition our Father. Tell him what's on our mind. Tell him what worries us. I know I basically tell God what I want him to do. You know what I'd like you to do, Lord? I would like you to do this and this and this. He doesn't need a lesson on what to do. God doesn't go, oh, that's a good idea. Tell him what worries us. That's petition, really. It's what's making you anxious? Tell him. Who are you worried about? Tell him. Now, if you love somebody and you're concerned about something you don't tell them, that person could be rightly insulted by that. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me you were worried? And God must be like that sometimes with us. It's like, I'm right here, guys. Why don't you tell me what you're concerned about? Why don't you tell me what you're worried about? I want to hear. I'm not going to tell you you're daft. He's not going to say, oh, that's really stupid. I've got it in hand. He knows us. He knows us. And he wants to hear. We do it on our own behalf, like Lorraine said, and we do it on behalf of others. Now, that really does put into perspective when we don't actually hear an answer we want. When we don't hear an answer we want, what we call the problem of unanswered prayer. There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. There's simply, look, I know best. If you have children and one hits the other and they say, Mummy, he hit me. Uh-huh, okay, I'll deal with it. But what are you going to do about it? No, leave it to me. I'll do it. That's what God's saying to us. I'm worried about this. Lord, I want you to do this. No, you leave it to me. You've handed it to me. Don't take it back. Your anxiety does not need to dwell with you because you've burdened me with it. And believe me, God had big shoulders, rather large shoulders, one must say. So leave it with him. Intercede for other people. Yes, please do. Intercede for yourself. Yes, do. But leave it there. Leave it with him. He's got it in hand. Not like he didn't know beforehand, but it's for us. And all of this, as I was going through, as I was studying for this, and as I was reading this book, How to Pray by Peter Gree, it's just like, it's not about me, is it, prayer? It's all about him. It's all about me being drawn to him because he cares. He's loving. He has it in hand. The biggest sin that we actually commit, really, is lack of faith. Is not believing God. And when I was studying for 1 John, I've done a lot of writing on 1 John lately. When it says, the person who says they have no sin, the truth is not in them. That's not simply not admitting you're a sinner. It's saying, God, you're a liar. And when we don't trust him, we say, we don't believe you when you tell me that you can handle it. Because I'd rather actually, because I'm a lot better at handling this than you are. That's what we're saying to God. Jacob's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. The schemer. He was a nasty little person, wasn't he, Jacob? He really was. And God says to him, don't worry about Esau. When you meet Esau, don't worry about him. You know, just meet him and greet him. It's all right. And Jacob says, okay, that's brilliant. Yeah, he meets him. He goes, I tell you, Lord, I've got this great plan. And God must be like, oh, good grief, not another plan. I mean, he's just like Baldrick, isn't he? You know, I've got this cunning plan. More cunning than a fox who went to Oxford University and got a degree in cunningness. Oh, I am sad. Yes, I am. But we don't trust. We don't trust him. And that's prayer. Trusting. Keep it simple, stupid. I'm saying that to me, not to you, by the way. Just in case. But we're all as daft as each other, aren't we? We all think that we got it lit. We got it handled. We don't leave it to God. Leave it there. He has it in hand. And he has your best at heart. Whatever we're going through, he does have your best at heart. Doesn't make the struggles any less. Doesn't make the struggles any less. But at least we know he is there and he will hold our hand for us. So, quiet in your mind. Recognize that God is with you. Tell him how great he is. And tell him what you're worried about. Because he cares. Now, what should we do? Borrowing from Nike. Just do it. Do it. Pray. How do I pray? Like I said, listen to him, which means I use the Psalms a great deal when I'm praying because, I mean, you might not think it, but I don't have the words. The Psalms often has the words to express what I need to say to God, especially the ones that kind of scream and shout and yell and that sort of thing. Where David throws his toys out the pram, I really appreciate those psalms. So yeah, use the psalms. Also, Nick gave me these, which I think are really good. They're just called Try Praying. We've got these, we've got loads of them, so please take one. I think they're in the back hall. But try praying. It's a weekly, a whole week. And it tells you to try things, gives you some wise words, gives you some themes, gives you some testimonies. It's really, really good. really good. Try praying. Please take one of these and go through it maybe this week if you want to. There is one for young people and children as well. Children are often the best prayers simply because they do actually trust God, unlike us. And it's really helpful. And praying for one another. Mac in her prayer expressed concern for people. And we should be concerned for one another. And we remember last year the lollipop sticks? Well, we're reinstituting the lollipop sticks. And so please take one and pray for people. I've written my name on both sides. And if you go out the back, there's a whole bunch of lolly sticks there. And if your name's not on one of them, if you can't find them, please write it on both sides. And then people will pick it up and they'll pray for you during the week. It's part of us being. It's a sort of greeting each other with a holy kiss, sort of with a holy lolly stick. So please do that as well. But if you don't get anything else, remember, you can't hold your breath forever. You've got to breathe. We've got to pray. So let's do that now. Lord God, we thank you that we can enter your presence whenever and however we are, whatever mess we're in, whatever concerns us. We know that life is really hard for so many people. We know that we have struggles and stresses and strains, but we bring those to you, Lord. We leave them with you. We know that that will not mean that we don't worry. We will. We know that. But you are a loving God. We can't imagine how much you love us. It's not in our ability to do so. But we do thank you that you do. And that we do ask you that we will be prompted to talk to you, to prepare ourselves, to know that you're with us, to tell you everything that we are concerned about when we've messed up, to receive your forgiveness, to give you thanks, and to also bring our concerns to you because you care for us. Help us to cast our cares on you because you care for us and you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.